Hey, Anthony, how are you doing?
I'm good. How about you, guy?
I'm doing great. I'm doing amazing. Whereabouts are you located?
Elkhart, Indiana.
Okay.
See all the water?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that looks
Not as
so.
good as yours, though. I like your beach.
Has it been a while since you've been to Southern California?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, where did you go?
Oh, God, I was all over California. My mom used to live outside of San Diego
Okay.
and with my sister.
Okay.
And they both died a couple years ago.
Oh.
And spent a lot of time in the hotel there in what's the name of that town?
Okay.
Orange County there.
That's right where I am, the belly of the beast.
Yeah. It was getting that way. I spent a lot of time at the one hotel, and I think it's 4500 MacArthur.
4500 what?
MacArthur Boulevard.
Oh, MacArthur. Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
And a lot of time in Half Moon Bay.
Wow. Up north, huh?
Yeah, I bought some property there, which is all gone. And that's it.
Know, I think I've seen you in the forums a little bit, right?
Yeah, I was there last week, I guess.
Oh, cool. So I have to ask you, how are things in Indiana with regards to this whole coronavirus thing?
Well, according to me, it's still a hoax, but everybody else is halfway into it.
I'm right there with you, my friend.
You know, I'm not into wearing that mask to cut off my oxygen supply and rebreathe the germs. No, it's all bull. My wife says, "You know, you gotta wear this." No, I don't.
Good for you.
I'm doing the ADA, the American with Disabilities Act. Get me out of it or get a fine.
All right, good. So, have you gone into stores and used that, and has it worked?
I've told a couple of former clients to use it, and it worked. It worked at Whole Foods, and it worked at Costco.
It worked at Whole Foods. Okay, so I'm seeing a trend with this now because I'm noticing from people telling me that it's not working at smaller stores. And the reason I think is because the bigger stores understand what's going on, their legal department, but the smaller stores don't really understand all that. So
No, and they don't want to get hit with a fine, so and they're more able to pay it. I even told my doctor about it, one of my doctors. She said, "Yeah, I hear you." I didn't wear my mask in there either. She did.
good. Have they asked you what your quote medical condition is?
No, I didn't. I mean, she knew what my medical condition was. You know, they can't ask you. It's
No, I
not part
know.
of the program.
Well, they can ask you, it's just going to cost them money.
And just say, "You know, you got to believe me. It's here. It's a hoax. I don't know how they're getting the whole country closed down again, and that fake Fauci's over there still trying to make mother millions and millions."
You know what's
Terrible.
interesting is how far they've been able to take something so minor, like a cold and flu. Like, it's amazing to me that they've been able to push this so far with something that, in my opinion, is just a common cold, you know?
They're just testing the broad ignorance of the populace.
I didn't think they were going to get it. I don't think they thought they were going to get away with it as much as they have. And now that they have, I think they're like a kid in a candy store now.
They're still closing schools around here. I just heard from my daughter-in-law yesterday.
Okay. Wow.
Terrible.
That's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
People are out of work.
And I don't think people are, they're not done playing with us either. When you
No,
said
they're
it, the candy
not.
store, you got that right. They're playing with us.
Yes,
Yeah.
they are.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm like with you, Anthony, around here. Most people are believing it that I know. And I had a neighbor guy come down the other night and he was talking about some mutual friends. And he said, the wife came up positive. And I said, "Okay, is she sick?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know." And then there's another family where about everybody in the family tested positive. And we're from a small area. And the 85-year-old has no symptoms at all. The one young guy, he's 40-something. He's quarantined for 14 days, not sick at all. But his wife is sick. I go, how sick? He goes, well, she doesn't feel good. And he goes, she's healthy. And I go, how do you know that? I go, you don't know what she is mentally. You don't know she's under stress. I go, you don't even know how I am in my mind. I go, you think I'm healthy. You don't know what I'm going through in my personal life. Yeah. And he sees me all the time. And then he kind of started getting it a little bit. I go, it's all about the terrain, the immunities. It's all about that. Mm-hmm. And, but you know, he go, oh, it's here. It's here. I'm like, oh my God.
It's nuts. It's so sad to see. I think that we are, Beck, did you happen to catch the last maybe 10 minutes of the show that we did with Dr. Kaufman last week?
Oh yeah, I watched the whole thing. Or I listened to the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, I love what he said about the bonfire thing. Did you hear him talk about that?
Yeah, where they share the ashes and spread it. Yeah.
I'm going to see what we can do on a grassroots level, because I've got, you know, some contacts in places like Cal Washington at the Envision Power Movement and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I think what we need to do is create some sort of local campaigns based on day. So like maybe this coming, like you put a date on the calendar and this is like Storm Costco Day or something like that. Uh-huh. And it's not really a storm day, but it's just more people going in with their phones and recording their interactions, trying to get in without a mask. And then once we get all that data, we can take that to a lawyer who'd be willing to represent a class action lawsuit. I think we have to start doing something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the one neighbor said, you're not going to do anything about it. He goes, what's going to happen is going to happen. And I said, you know what? You've got a big mouth. You tell people, you keep talking. Don't, you know, be a sheep and comply with these orders.
I know.
But he thinks there's nothing we can do. And I think, well, you know what? I got a big mouth and I'm not shutting up. My son told me, he goes, Mom, all my friends think you're weird. And I said, good.
They're all blue-pilled, right? So, of course, they're going to think that.
Yeah. I did say that. I go, well, I took the red pill. Sorry. He didn't quite get that. So,
I really think if we had people around the nation on one particular day, and it doesn't even have to be, I don't think it has to be something where we create conflict or arguments or just go to Costco, say, for example, and just record the interactions. And if they say, sorry, we can't let you in without a mask, and you say, okay, and you have that all on recording and you turn around, you go home. And then we send all of those videos as evidence to a lawyer who'd be willing to represent a class action, you know?
Right.
Because it's not the same as no shoes, no shirt, no service, because that doesn't restrict oxygen flow and prevent, you know, oxygen transfer and stuff. So.
Right. Yeah.
I think to Costco last week. They never said boo without a mask. I just went in and shopped and came out, no mask.
Did they ask you at the door? Because you know how they greet you?
And it didn't.
I think you cut out there, Anthony. Bummer.
Oh.
Yeah, because normally at Costco, right, Beck, don't they ask you right at the door?
You know what? I've never been to a Costco. The nearest Costco is probably 2 hours from here.
Okay.
So I've never been to one.
We have to. I'm just getting this sense, this really overwhelming sense that it's so important for us. This is like such a critical time in human history, and we just can't lay down.
Yeah. Because
if we lay down, you look at all the same stuff I do with all the QAnon stuff and all the dark stuff going on. Like, you know what's going on. If we lay down, this is not good.
No. No. I just feel like we've, especially after election, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
That part scares me. I know a neighbor girl, she booked a trip to Jamaica in December, and I go, you did what?
Oh my gosh.
Are you thinking really? About what is going on in the planet right now?
Wow.
I don't know. I think sometimes it's just easier to just check out. I don't think she's even paying attention to what's going on around her.
Yeah, a lot of people are just either going along with it or they're just not thinking. Like, they don't understand the ramifications of $6 to $10 trillion new dollars being made, the deflation of the dollar, all of these censorship issues, all of this restriction with masks and the fudging of the data. I just don't see people, like, they're just walking around with a haze. They don't understand what's really happening here.
Yeah.
Those people, in my opinion, they're beyond help. You know, we can't.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no sense even talking to them anymore because you know, and I know the one guy that hangs out here at our place quite a bit, he said, oh, after the election, it's all going to go back to normal. And I said, what's normal? I go, what is normal? I go, they're making my grandson got a job for the summer at a town from here. Oh, I don't know. It's about 15 miles from here, making masks. And they are making masks hand over fist. It's just a small little factory. He said they're now having them on Saturdays and Sundays working, and they're giving him incentives of like another $100 if they work on Sunday.
Oh my gosh. Are they really?
And this is a small little town in Ohio. Ooh. So I said, no, they're not taking these masks away. If they think everything is going to be done after the election, they would not be making the mask like they are.
Oh yeah. And Kate and I were talking the other day, the masks are made in China. And if you look at the masks, they're sprayed with chemicals because those materials aren't blue in nature, right? So those chemicals on glyphosate on those masks, you're breathing that in along with your carbon dioxide. Not only is that happening, but they're made in China. They're increasing your CO2 that you're breathing. They're decreasing your oxygen. They're increasing all of these chemicals that you're exposed to that you breathe out. And it's like these people are running. I saw the guy the other day running down the street like he was jogging with a mask on. I mean,
we went for a couple of days to Michigan where the dunes are and was hiking there with my daughter and son-in-law and their kids. And you should have seen the people on those trails with masks on, and it was hot. I saw this older couple. I thought for sure the lady was going to pass out. I mean, we had a heck of time just breathing right, you know, without a mask.
Think about like what this is going to do long term. Like if you figure, okay, you wear a mask, like the average person, let's say the average person, let's say they got 16 hours a day that they're awake, right? They're asleep for 8, you know, and they're awake for 16. Let's say they wear it for 8 hours a day, you know, whether they're working or driving or shopping, right? Wearing a mask for 8 hours a day, can you imagine what that's going to do long term to not just your lung health, but the gases in your blood and the pH levels in your blood? That's going to set them up for so many kinds of sickness. This is going to debilitate them over time, you know?
Do you ever listen to that Joe Embriano on the Fullerton? He's the Fullerton.
Yeah. Do you ever listen to him?
He's a little. Yeah. I mean, there's no good news coming out of the guy's mouth, but.
No, right.
He does once in a while. He'll talk about Jesus and everything, which is good, but.
Right.
He claims this is the war on oxygen. He goes, this is what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And they're taking it away from us. Sometimes I think he's a little too radical for me. Then sometimes I think, you know what? The guy's starting to make sense the longer we're in this thing. Mm-hmm. And he said when the kids go back to school, they've put new Wi-Fi systems and they've put air conditioners and air purifiers. And he's talking about the 60 gigahertz and that will take your oxygen away. He said, don't worry about the 5G. It's the 60 gigahertz. And I'm like, I hope he's wrong.
Yeah, I hope all of these people are wrong. But you know what's interesting is even just 6 months ago or a year ago, when I would listen to people talk like this, like you kind of listen to them, you know, and you know that there's a smidgen of truth. You might think, okay, maybe they're being like Alex Jones and maybe they're being bombastic and stuff, but there may be a little bit of, you know, bits of truth in there, right? But now with what they've been able to do with this thing, I just look at it as like, okay, that 20% that I thought Alex Jones, maybe I thought he was 80% crazy and 20% truth. Now that 20% is up to 40 or 50%.
Right.
Because you see exactly what they're doing. It's playing out.
That's Joe Embriano says, you know, when they mess with the kids, that's demonic. And he goes, there's psychopaths to mess with the kids. And then he said, that's going to scare the parents into getting the vaccine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I listened to someone recently talk about this and this was interesting. He was talking about, cause my question always was in the future was okay, how are they going to know? Cause you know how people will say, well, I'm not going to wear the mask and I'm not getting the vaccine either. Right. So how are the people going to know if you're walking around at Costco, for example, who has a vaccine or not? Right.
Right.
What this guy was saying, which is an interesting take. And I can completely see how it's going to happen is they're going to require that COVID pass, right? The ID 2020 to happen. And if you choose not to get the vaccine, then in order to get in the store, you have to wear the mask. So now all of a sudden, when you're in the store, everyone that's wearing a mask, you automatically know they don't have the vaccine. And that just creates more anger and division amongst people. You know, I don't know if that's true, but it makes sense.
Well, somebody showed me, I don't even know where I saw this, but a lady saw somebody without a mask, and she had a mask, and she poured hot coffee on him. She had a coffee cup and threw it on him. And then, but things got bloody then. And I'm not real sure who ended up bleeding, but the person attacked her.
Wow.
They're nuts.
Aren't they?
This division is created division, all right. And it is true. You divide and conquer. It's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Anthony, I'm glad you've had success just walking in and not wearing one. That's great.
Yeah. I said, and I got cut off there. I was riding a cart that may have, you know, helped my admission, but I don't know.
Wait, what'd you say there?
I was riding one of those carts.
Oh, the, you know, the motorized buggy
you drive around.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Walk through there. Interesting.
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah, well, maybe people didn't mess with you because, like you said, maybe you were in there and they just didn't want to mess with you or something.
Well, it might have been my gun. I don't know. My long sword.
Maybe it was your rifle on your hip, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The long sword. I love that. Well, you know what? Here's the thing is we have to start figuring out a way to get information out. And I think it's one of those things where I was talking with my wife about this the other day, Kate, and you have to think about like, okay, so all of these people, we have to think like strategically, all of these people walking around, they have this blind allegiance to doctors or Bill Gates, right? Like they all think that they have the answers, right? So in order to make people start digging a little bit, we have to first, the first step, in my opinion, is to start putting cracks in the armor of their belief in either Bill Gates or the vaccines, right? So maybe it's, so there's got to be a strategic way if you guys use social media. So I was thinking about this, like, if you post on your personal social media account, right, all you post is like just all of these anti-vax and you're just going in strong and heavy and hard, right? People are just going to defriend you or they're going to unfollow you. So you're not going to get any traction with that. But if you say, you know what, I don't even use Facebook right now. I don't use Instagram, but you know what? I have 400 friends on there. Let me start posting like every once a day, something funny or something happy or something positive or a cool news article unrelated to anything of this. And then one out of every 10 posts, so that would mean like one out of every 10 days, you've sort of earned your friends' respect or their like of you grows because they see all this cool stuff you're posting. And then you hit them with a truth bomb of some interesting article that starts putting the crack in of their belief system of Bill Gates, because we can't go super strong, because trying to change someone's belief system about this is like trying to change their religion. Mm-hmm. It's got to be done.
Gates, I've hated him for years. That's why I don't buy his junk anymore.
That's
he can't
great.
Fix a virus in his computers.
I know, right?
On the street.
That's a good point.
He's a super pathological murderer.
Oh, yeah.
And not counting all of the ties to Epstein, which is a whole separate thing that, you know.
I hope they all go down on that one. I hope they can keep her alive.
My God, prayers, right? Got to keep her alive.
Yes.
Because imagine people think and trust Bill Gates, right? Imagine, so a perfect example of this is putting cracks in the armor of the belief system of Bill Gates and his love for us, right? If this stuff comes out, let's say the next shoe to drop with Ghislaine is Bill Gates' ties to raping little children. Let's say that's the case. All of a sudden, everything he's ever said about vaccines, normal people are going to start going, whoa, I got to look at this guy, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we have to start doing, is disabling the belief system that he's a good guy trying to help us, you know?
Right.
Look at all the people they hurt in Africa.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
With that fake polio vaccine.
Yeah, that would be a good article to post to our friends every, you know, once a week or something, you know?
Yeah. That's a good idea. I don't get on Facebook. I have an account, but I don't get on it rarely.
Do you have any friends on there?
Oh, yeah.
You have, like,
I did that when it first came out, like, in what was that, 2000? Oh, gosh. The picture, actually, the picture I got on there, I'm holding my 15-year-old grandson. He was maybe a year old, so that's how long ago that was. That's what my picture is, because I never changed it.
Well, you know what?
So if
you have friends, because this is what, like, the mainstream, if all of us started doing, because I don't really post that much either, but if we started all going back to doing this and sort of, like, earning our friends right and not coming at them too strong, but dropping, you know, once out of seven posts and start posting more, this is the only way we're going to take back media, because it's not going to come from the news, you know?
They need to close out Facebook altogether.
Yeah.
I agree. But while we have it, we might as well use it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree on that. I have to ask you guys this. I had an interesting conversation yesterday with a gal. We kept talking about Epstein Island and all that. And I told her, I said, I don't think Epstein was the real kingpin on this. I said, there's somebody way more powerful than him.
Uh-huh.
And that's my feeling. And she agreed. She thought so too. And then she said, have you ever heard when they abduct these kids, what all goes on? And I said, well, they say in Hollywood, there's a lot of demonic things going on. I said, I think they drink blood or whatever. And she goes, what she told me was pretty disturbing. And I don't know where she got this from. I'm going to text her and find out, get the information.
Nice.
She said they abduct little kids and they really scare them. So that fear is in their blood.
Yeah.
And then when they take that blood, it's a huge high. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah,
that's the adrenochrome.
Oh, yeah, that's the word he told me. So you've heard about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is one of the reasons why it's part of that MK Ultra thing where they try to separate the hemispheres of the brain through some sort of traumatic event and stimulation. So this is why all the entertainers have their alter egos, because of this MK Ultra hemisphere split of the brain. But when they apparently, it's like just like when you shoot an animal for kill, you know, if you do it in such a way that's traumatic, you get all the adrenaline in the meat, right? But if you do it like a silent shot in their brain, they die immediately. The meat's free of that. So with the kids, all of that, when they're fear and screaming for their life, all of that adrenalized blood, you know, gets released, and that's what they apparently drink.
They torture them for hours.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So that's one guy
you need to go to is Blessed to Teach, the number two.
Blessed to teach.
He's got that Gene Corsensi on there. He talks about all the dumbs they've dumped their beat, you know, closed up in the last 6 months or year.
Anthony, is that a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Blessed to teach, or B2T
is one, and Blessed to Teach is the other one. They've cut him off a couple of times, so he changed it.
Of course, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Man, I'm going to look into that. You know, I knew that there was, you know, where they were drinking blood and stuff, but I never heard about, you said it's adrenal what?
Adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome.
I mean, if you look at, people have made weird connections. Like if you look at the processor that's in the Google chip, it's called the Adrena. And then their web browser is called Chrome.
Wow. You know, they're just slamming it right in front of our face, and they have to be laughing.
They have to be laughing.
We're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game, isn't it?
Supposedly, they have to tell you once of what they're going to do.
Yeah.
That seems like it.
Doesn't it? It really does seem like it, doesn't it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you heard about the cops and that goofball computer. What's his name? Weiner?
Oh, yeah. Anthony Weiner. Weiner.
And some of the stuff on there, the cops puked. And then 9 out of 12 of them are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide? No, you don't do suicide when you're a cop. Not like that.
Oh.
Not like that.
And there was one on there that somebody leaked. It's probably true that Hillary and her girlfriend, Huma, cut the face off of some kid.
Mm-hmm.
and were walking around with her and torturing her and all that stuff before they killed her.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Who knows? But man,
okay, that's the first time I heard 50%. That. So yeah, I did. So who's this Huma? I never heard that name.
Huma Abedin. That's her. Her sidekick.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. See, I haven't heard that either. Interesting.
There's plenty of those stories. She's a bad couple. I also heard from this Cosenzi guy on the Blessed to Teach channel.
Okay.
That Hillary and Bill have been shipped off and they've hung her, and Bill was too chicken to face the squad, so they turned him around and fired a gun. That's probably true.
Yeah, it's hard to verify a lot of this, right? But
I know.
It was interesting, and I'd like it to be true, that's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anthony, I have to ask you, my friend, what is going on with your home life, family and friends, your wife? If you know all this stuff, do they think you're crazy, or are they on board?
My wife's coming along a little better. My kids, they're still goofy.
Really? You know,
the riots in Portland, they must be doing something right, you know. I said, you guys are nuts. I sent you to school and you got the wrong education.
Wow. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think about the time I got out of college and law school, that's when all the wackos started teaching.
Gosh, I know, right? You know what's crazy? Did you hear about what the mayor did in Los Angeles 2 days ago?
No.
So he issued a press conference, and there was some sort of mandate. I don't know if it's a real mandate or it can't be a law because it's not a bill that was actually passed. But he was up there giving a press conference talking about how the fire department and the cops have been put on order in Los Angeles to respond to anybody who's having or hosting, I think, groups of people in their house, and what they're going to do is turn off their electricity and turn off their power.
Yeah, something like that. I heard even in New York.
I mean, that is
terrible.
Terrible. So, Anthony, you said that you were a lawyer.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about that? That can't be a law, right?
It's probably some, you know, city or county thing that he, you know, it's like those executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
And that goofball in Michigan, she's doing the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Where'd you go to the beach in Michigan, ma'am?
The town was Thomasville that we stayed at. It was Lake Michigan, but then my daughter was at another one. Is there a Manistee?
Yeah, that's nice. It's up north.
Yeah, they went up further than we did. Then they came back down, and then we met them by this Thomasville. But absolutely gorgeous. The dunes and stuff, you know. Yeah. And the water is so clean. It makes Lake – our closest lake, of course, is Lake Erie. And, oh, no comparison.
Yeah.
Lake Erie, not like Lake Michigan at all. It's just beautiful there.
Wow.
I used to live in St. Joe, Michigan, and that's pretty cool.
Oh, I was there probably about 10 years ago. That's that harbor countries around there, right? Because we stayed at an old inn, bed and breakfast, a real old inn.
Yep, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, Michigan's a beautiful state.
Wow.
Remember, they got a wacky mayor.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. We met some guys from Michigan. We went to the island one day, just drove around in a golf cart, and we met these guys from Michigan, and we were discussing trading our mayors back and forth. And then we decided, I think ours might be a little better than Whitmer, but not real sure. And then I guess our mayor, DeWine, got tested, and he was positive for COVID. And then guess what? He got tested again, and he was negative. Now, you think he's going to kind of look at that and say, geez, these tests just probably aren't quite what we need, but yeah.
That was your mayor?
Yeah, Mayor DeWine.
Mayor DeWine.
He likes to throw the orders out too. Now, are you familiar with a sport called cross country for kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they run 3.1 miles.
Uh-huh.
Okay, have you ever seen those kids come in and what states they're in where they're throwing up, they're passing out because they're so competitive?
Yeah,
now
yeah.
when they get done with running, they have to put masks on.
Oh, unbelievable.
Isn't that stupid?
As they're panting, right?
Yes. A lot of them, my daughter ran that. She passed out one time. She pushed herself too much and passed out. The kids come in throwing up all the time.
Wow.
Falling down because they're so competitive. And I thought, my daughter has her boys run in it. And she goes, there's no way. She goes, I will pull them out of that sport before I have them wear a mask.
That's what they want. They don't want anybody to know sports.
Yep. Well, you know what? We can do a little underground thing. We have a lot of land around here, a lot of trails. Do it ourselves.
I love it. Hey, Anthony, are you familiar with John Taylor Gatto? Because you mentioned a while back about the education system. Are you familiar with his work?
I've heard of it. I may have watched him or read some, but I don't remember.
Yeah, he's got a lot of books that he's written. He's the actual former New York school teacher of the year back in the 80s or 90s. But I think he's passed on now. I think he was about 87 or 88. And he just recently passed away. But if you search on Google or on YouTube, John Taylor Gatto, 5-hour interview, he talks about on the education system is so mind-blowing and so groundbreaking that it will blow your mind. And it's all the stuff you probably already know, but it's interesting hearing it from a guy who has won the, you know, school teacher of the year award, an amazing scholar, written a ton of books too. And you think about this schooling system, Beck, like what you were saying, it's just crazy that we're putting these masks on, vaccinate our kids, putting them in this EMF field. You know, playgrounds are exposed to glyphosate. They're hanging out with other degenerate sort of kids just so that they can learn false information. I mean, it's like, what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I went to grade school and the nuns could pretty good police people for that.
What's that?
I said I went to a Catholic grade school and the nuns were supervisors in the playground and all that stuff.
I had nuns in grade school too. They cracked the whip, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Right?
You didn't get away with a whole lot with the nuns.
I've heard stories. My mom went to a Catholic school as well, and man.
See, our school was public, and I don't know how they got away with that. It's a Catholic community, and the school was public, but yet there was a convent. A big convent in our small little village, and the nuns taught at the school. Somehow, I don't know how they did that, but it was years later that there's none there anymore. But they did a lot of work. You know, we didn't have room mothers and stuff like that. The nuns did it all.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. It was different.
Wow, that's crazy. And schools these days are so, I can't even imagine being a child today in school. Could you imagine how difficult that would be and how weird and bizarre that would be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh.
I would not be sending my kids to school if I had kids right now. I would not be. I told my kids, don't send them. I go, there's going to be another big thing when the kids go to school. I wouldn't send them.
Oh, but home teaching is probably the way to go, but.
Yeah,
you know,
it'd be hard to do.
Screw
I even thought, why can't you get little group schools, you know, with maybe five families or something, you know, and because I know kids don't want to listen to their own parents, but I think they'll listen to somebody else.
I think that's just the way it's got to go. And hopefully it gets to the point where people start waking up, because I just saw an article yesterday about there is a school in, I think, Pennsylvania just yesterday. I think it was a high school or something where all of the kids just refused to wear masks. And there was a picture of them all in the hallway and no one was, I think one kid was wearing a mask and the rest of the kids weren't. It was like a high school. And it's just one of those things where this is going to start really causing some issues. If the kids, don't get sick in that environment, then they're going to come down on them for not wearing a mask. But if they do, then they're going to come down on them for not wearing a mask. It's like,
yeah, yep.
It's wild. Yep. Yeah.
Well, then they try to figure out a way how to get them sick.
Exactly, right?
Put in the ventilation system.
Well, yeah. According to that Joe, he's saying it's going to mimic the virus, and they're going to say that's what it is, but he goes, it is not what it is. Yeah, according to him, I'm
he's
starting
a pretty
to kind
smart
of
bring guy.
Yeah, he seems like he knows his stuff, and I'm like, I hope he's wrong, but I tell you what, I guess you got to get ready and get prepared. I mean, I've been stocking up on stuff, and I know my neighbor, she said, that's terrible, you're hoarding. I go, I'm preparing, I'm not hoarding. Mm-hmm. There's still things in the stores. It's not like I'm taking the last package of whatever. I said, and she has three little kids. She has twins like you, Justin, and she has two twin boys and then another one. And I told her, I said, you got to take care of your family. I said, it's not hoarding to take care of your family.
Yeah, and I think too, like shortening the supply chain is so key. Like you're doing back, you know, with some of your own animals. I think that's so key. And like, you know, that's what we've been doing. Grocery shopping is just buying a couple extra things every time we go. And it's not like at the end where everyone's hoarding toilet paper. We're just buying a couple extra things of meat, making some beef jerky and whatever else, you know? And so like you said, it's not hoarding because no one else is doing it. And then you're only buying a little bit extra, you know?
And you know, another thing I did, I got, DMSO and the chlorine dioxide also, I've got a couple of, you know, that'll last you forever.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know what? It's not, that's not just for me. I will help people with that. You don't need much. That's a couple of drops. And because you got to be your own physician, too.
Oh, yeah.
Amanda Vollmer wrote a great book on DSMO.
I got that. I got that.
She's wonderful.
I've bought three orders of her stuff. I actually got one, some stuff for my daughter for her birthday. She just had a birthday.
Yeah.
One of them was wrinkle cream, and she goes, "What? You got me wrinkle cream?" I said, "Well, no." I said, "She has some really good products." You know,
she does.
She likes it. Yeah,
I've talked to her a couple of times. She's a pretty clever lady. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we
She's
had
the
her
best $75 you'll ever spend for an hour.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought about doing that.
So you had a consultation with her, Anthony.
Yeah, I did. And she's pretty clever.
She is. Did you happen to see our radio show with her? We did that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
no,
that was good. That was really good.
I'll go back and look.
Yeah, well, it's in the Academy under Extreme Health Radio, I think, under miscellaneous. There's a section, and we did the DMSO talk with her. And Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing, man?
Hi, Justin.
How are you?
Yeah, fine. I'm in the UK, so I always meant to go on one of the Zoom rooms, you know.
Nice.
For Extreme Health Academy, yeah.
Oh, that's
great. And I realized I think you've been on for 2 hours from what I can, no, 3 hours. How long have you been on the Zoom?
Just do it from I do it for an hour every Friday mornings from 9 to 10 Pacific. And so that's got to be, like right now, it's got to be 5 or 6 o'clock your time?
10 to 6.
10 to 6. Okay, 10 to 6. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great to have you here, man.
Yeah. It's good to see everyone.
Yeah.
I was expecting a few more people. I was expecting like 30, 40 people.
Sometimes there's more than this, but usually five, maybe up to five.
Yeah. And plus I kind of actually like it better when it's a little smaller, because if there's a ton of people, it's hard to, you know, interact, but I like getting to know people. So this is more fun for me.
So,
how's that aquaphor doing? You guys selling any of those?
What's that?
You selling any of those aquacures since you put them on your store?
Yeah, we have. And we're going to be getting one here soon ourselves. And it's an interesting technology. Did you happen to listen to those shows we did about hydrogen?
Actually, I think I did, and I bought one because of it.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, they're, I think that George he's awesome. He's going to be back on the show, and we're going to talk more about that. And he's just a great guy. Just a great guy.
Well, when I bought it, I wrote him in the letter. I found out about it on your, you know, Extreme Health Academy.
Oh, cool.
And yeah. another guy that promotes it is Dr. Circus.
Dr. Circus, yeah, he's another former guest. He's a great guy. And he's a great guy. You know, he's got land. Dr. Circus has land available in Brazil right now if you want to go live in it on his compound.
Well, I wouldn't mind him, but I don't know about now.
What were you going to say, Beck? Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. What are you guys talking about that you bought, Anthony?
It's a hydrogen machine that promotes, or you heal up with hydrogen and frequencies in the water, and it does so many things you can't believe it. You got to go look at his show.
Is that different from the Brown's gas, or is that the same thing?
It is Brown's gas, actually.
Okay. Amanda Vollmer talks about that because she has a video where she's got it on the whole time. Mm. Something like, what, $2,500 or something like that? $2,400?
Yeah. I think with George was nice enough to give us a coupon code. I think that gets like $500 off or something like that. But, hydrogen is the smallest antioxidant in the universe. And it's something like 400 times smaller than vitamin C. And I think it's like 700 times smaller than CoQ10. So it has this weird ability to get into places that other substances can't. And one of its sort of claim to fame is we had Tyler LeBaron on, who's the founder of the Molecular Hydrogen Institute. And he was saying that it actually goes into the DNA itself, which no other substance can do. And it actually is able to get into the lysosome of the cell, which helps the lysosome get rid of polyunsaturated fatty acids and iron and other accumulation toxins in the body. Yeah. So it's pretty remarkable in terms of that. And you can breathe the gas, you can bubble the water and stuff like that. It's an amazing substance. Yeah. So that's great, Anthony. I'm glad you got one.
Well, start using it if you got one.
That's great. That's awesome.
Well, I got to go. I think you're going to close the show anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, we have a couple more minutes. Yeah. I want to hang out if you guys are, I've probably got about another 10 more minutes. So, yeah.
Okay. So I was going to ask, it's Jonathan.
Yes.
What's your name in the academy? Did you go by Jonathan?
It's Health Matters and Chums.
Okay. I probably commented already, maybe. I don't know, but I recognize that. And Anthony, are you just Anthony?
I believe it is. It might be Anthony I.
Okay. Yep.
That's cool.
All right. Yeah, I like to catch up like that. Peter from Denmark, he's something else, isn't he? He's like just some letters, maybe.
What's that? The last thing you said?
That Peter that would come on the Zoom once in a while. Isn't he in the academy? Isn't he just some letters, I think? I don't think he goes by Peter, does he?
Yeah, he's MRPM or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to put a face with a name.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Do you do this every day, Justin? Because I just got a letter from Dr. B, and I can't remember if you do it every day or not.
I it's available every day for anyone to sort of jump on and kind of connect. But I come in on Friday mornings. If I have some time, different times during the day, I'm on here. I'll check in and see if anyone's on. But we kind of make it a group thing on Fridays. But I'm also on there's a little chat on the main dashboard that I'm usually, whenever I'm working on the academy and adding new content, I'm always on there in case anyone needs me. So, yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, tell me, I want to ask you, what's the state in the UK right now? Like, what's going on?
Well, everyone's pretty relaxed. I mean, I think everybody just wants to get back to normal.
Yeah.
And people aren't really doing the they're not wearing the masks all the time.
Okay.
I'm wearing the mask because I think it's a caring thing to do to other people, to sort of cover your mouth. I mean, I'm not afraid of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I'm just, I'm not. But I could be asymptomatic, and I appreciate that could be a thing. And I don't know. I mean, what's your opinion on that, everyone?
Well, we're all kind of the belief that this is sort of, at least my take is that it's a viral infection, nothing other than the flu or cold, and they're kind of blowing this out of proportion. You know, we had that Dr. Andy Kaufman on the show last week, and he's saying that there's no clinical evidence or research showing the existence of a coronavirus. And I asked him, I said, "Doc, there's evidence of the coronavirus, the family of viruses that exist, you know, and these have been around for a long time." And he says unequivocally that there is no evidence of any virus that's ever been isolated in that way. So there's a lot of, and this is a medical doctor. It's kind of crazy, right? So there's a lot of people questioning the narrative. And I think the bizarre thing is that all of us are walking around with just question marks in our head, you know?
I mean, people just aren't, I mean, a lot of people in the UK that no one really is afraid of it.
I know.
You know, everyone's going down to Devon at the moment for holidays, breaks. I mean, there's meant to be gridlock.
Wow.
You know, for holidays, you know, if people were afraid, why are they going on holiday?
That's right. And
why are the roads all jammed up?
I know, right?
It's like a subconscious thing. No one really accepts that it's as dangerous as they make out.
There is
I'm trying to respect it, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to be respectful. You know, I'm sure everyone feels the same way, but
because one thing that I think we don't think about is a lot of people who take the position that this is just a fake virus and there's no such thing as a coronavirus. A lot of those people are sort of now in opposition to the people wearing masks, you know, and there's this divide. And I think that we can't lose our love for humanity. And the enemy isn't, if you're a mask wearer, the enemy isn't the person not wearing the mask. And if you're a non-mask wearer who considers yourself awakened and all this stuff, like sort of, I believe we might, the enemy isn't the guy wearing the mask. The enemy is who caused all of this stuff. And we can't be in strife, because the more strife, we have to realize that though we have to love those people and treat them like they just haven't looked at the information that we have, and we can't be in opposition, because that's what they want, is just more division, you know?
Yeah. It's a £100 fine here. So if you walk into a petrol station or something without your mask on, you could risk a £100 fine.
Wow.
And the thing is though, people are wearing them. Like there. So they're wearing them, you know. No one can really enforce it. The shops refuse to enforce it.
We went into a gas station in Michigan, and oh my gosh, this guy is funny. It says, "We have been mandated by our governor or mayor or whatever." Governor, I guess, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you have to wear the mask. And you went in there, and the guy had it on his head, the guy that was taking your money when you got gas.
No way.
Pretty funny. He is like, "I'm wearing it." They didn't say I had to put it on my mouth. I'm wearing it.
Oh my gosh. I saw a funny meme that was going around the other day, and it was basically what you were saying, Jonathan, a second ago. It was saying, I think the top of the meme was said something to the effect of, "Let's be honest and be truthful with ourselves. You don't really believe this is a pandemic, because if you did, you wouldn't leave your house. You wouldn't go anywhere near any of this stuff." And it was kind of exactly what you were saying, is that if this were a real true pandemic, there would be no doubts. There would be no questions. All of us would be freaked out and afraid. And you know what I mean? But there's so many cracks in the armor that I don't think people really believe all of this hype, but we kind of wear the masks because you know what I mean? It's like a social norm now.
It's like some people that go to church on Sundays, they go to be seen.
Yeah.
They want to make sure everybody sees. And then they sleep during the sermon.
Yeah, that's true. That's, you describe my parents.
Mine too. Well, they're not here anymore. That's how they were. Got to make sure everybody sees that I'm there. People are fun, aren't they? Life's a comedy. It really is.
I know.
They came perilously close of convincing us there was a pandemic at first.
Yeah, at first.
It got looser every time somebody barked.
What'd you say, Anthony?
Bizarre, you know, he's talking like it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. It's so bizarre. I think we live in such precarious times. And like I was saying before, Beck, I don't think people see how dangerous and volatile and how unprecedented these times are. People just going around doing their daily thing. They think everything's going to go back to normal. And I think people are just sheepishly asleep and at the wheel. And this is such a critical time in human history. I just know it, you know?
Yeah. That Joe Imbriano said on one of his things that he goes, if this was as bad as they're making it, we should be wearing one of these. And he brings this big black thing, almost like Darth Vader type thing. And where you could just barely hear him. He goes, this is what we should be wearing if it's as bad as they say it is.
Yeah.
And he's right. Why isn't everybody walking around in those, you know, with that whole thing away? Yeah.
You know, just if you got a second, you remember, if you ever been to the Denver airport and see all those weird paintings in there?
Oh, yeah. All the Masonic, yeah.
Well, they had one in there with people wearing masks.
Oh, do they really?
25 years ago, yes.
Huh. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I got to look that up because I've looked into that a little bit and how all there's some allegedly underground tunnels there as well, but then the Masonic statues and stuff outside the airport. I didn't know about the mask thing. That's crazy.
Yep.
So, Jonathan, what about your friends and family and the people that you associate with? What do they think and how is your relationship with them?
What, as in regard to coronavirus?
Yeah, like
in general. That's a good question. I don't know.
Are they afraid? Most people, you know.
No, I mean, I've got a friend who he's about 70.
Okay.
And he's had the coronavirus, or so we're supposed to believe.
Okay.
From the doctors, that it's supposed to be coronavirus. But he's a bit of a hypochondriac, if I'm I don't mean to speak behind his back, but he is a little bit of a hypochondriac. Mm-hmm. And
back out from us, we won't tell.
No, we won't say anything.
But generally speaking, I think everybody's trying to just be respectful because what else can you be? I mean, you can't just poo-poo it and then go around offending everyone that could take it. Because there are people that are scared.
Mm-hmm.
There are loads of people that are scared. I mean, I clean windows for a living. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of elderly people that are terrified of it.
Oh, and that's
there sad. There are people that are terrified of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but generally speaking, there are the odd few that will sort of do that if you get too close and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get too close there. Mm-hmm. You know, and but generally I would say it's like, you know, the same for you, isn't it? The majority of people are pretty relaxed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's one of those things too where I think it's important for us to put ourselves in their shoes because we all know about, you know, high dose IV vitamin C therapy or ozone therapy or ultraviolet blood irradiation. You know, like we know of these alternative treatments that basically wipes viruses out. So even if there is a virus, we all know that there's solutions outside. Even if you want to take the medical route and do the hydroxychloroquine, we know that that works, but then there's all kinds of ways to wipe it out. So, you know, fear goes away with knowledge and we all are understanding of that. But if it's really difficult to put yourself in the mainstream, like if you really did think there's a virus, like I feel really bad for people because I could understand how difficult it would be to feel like, oh, the fall's coming. And if I get a cough or flu, or if I get a sore throat, I may have coronavirus and I might die. Like, that's a really strong fear. And I really feel for people in that way. And I often try to put myself in that mindset just so that I'm not in opposition, but I remember to have compassion for them, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to be.
Yeah, it's hard because we all, like, you know, I think everyone's in opposition to each other, but what we need to do is come together and love and share information that's eye-opening, but do it in a way where we're supporting our fellow people, you know? And this is such a bizarre time, like 9/11 on steroids, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of exciting, really, though, when you think about it, if you go to the spiritual end of it, if it's true that we decide when we come on this planet for this life, isn't it kind of exciting that we chose this? Maybe we're supposed to be helping people, you know? I don't know. In a way, it's kind of an exciting time.
I think about that too. I think, you know, regardless of whether, you know, you believe that we chose to come in or God, whatever the case, Christianity, if we chose it, like you said, Beck, then we obviously are here for a reason. We knew that we were able to handle this. If it was God, then maybe, you know, it's like having that idea that God thought we were strong enough to be here at this time in it. So either way you slice it, like, we're here for a reason, and we can't be afraid, and we can't be scared, and we're obviously here for a great awakening, right? So
yeah, I think it is. You know, really, you always kind of knew in a way that the government had a corruptness to it. Everything has everything has a bad corruptness to it, a little bit of it. But now we're really, really seeing it. You know, I would have never thought that about Hollywood, all the bad stuff that's in. I would have never thought that. I thought, you know, a lot of those cool actors. Then when you start hearing all this stuff, it is a great awakening. You know, I don't even feel like going to any movies anymore. I really don't. But I know there are a lot of good people, too. It's just a handful. Mm-hmm. But it's a and to see our, you know, Washington, D.C., how corrupt it is. And I didn't know it was as corrupt as I know now.
Worse every day. I gotta go, guys. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Yep. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, good to meet you, Anthony.
See you soon. Bye.
Yeah, I'll
see
you on Friday, hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. Isla, I think your microphone is muted, right? Or are you? I think you can hear us, right?
Hopefully. Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. The mic is on now.
Oh, cool.
Sure. You guys just taking turns, kind of jumping in, right? It's almost like it's my second time here. I'm not sure how the process goes.
Oh, nice, nice. Good to have you here, man. I think you just recently signed up. Is that right?
I've been a member. I just never attended the Zoom calls or anything like that. So now I'm just like big more into it. So let me just, you know, let me get back into it. I kind of fell off, got so busy with my life and business. I run a business on top of it. So.
Oh, cool. What kind of business do you run?
Real estate solutions. So like we buy like the ugly houses and fix them and flip them and things like that.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, free foreclosures and stuff like that, helping people get out of some bad situations, you know?
Oh, wow. So you help people with getting out of bad situations, but then you also buy property yourself?
Yeah, yeah. So we'll cash them out before the bank takes the property for them. They get zero if the bank takes it. But we, you know, we'll cash them out, give them some money, help them with moving expenses and no cleanups, no repairs, and then buy the property and maybe fix it or keep it as a rental or something like that.
Okay, I got to ask you then. This is interesting. Yeah. I've always been interested in real estate, but I've never done anything with it. But I've had an interest in it for many years. As far as the coronavirus in relationship to the real estate market, what's going on with that? Are you being hit pretty big, do you think, or no?
So, you know, when it first started in March, everyone panicked. Everyone got really nervous. And people did stop buying for like the first maybe 1 or 2 weeks. Okay. But we already had some deals that we were supposed to buy. And now with the municipalities being closed, it slowed everything down, but people were still buying at the time. Cash buyers, everyone who was in the stock market pulled their money out and said, let me buy multifamily because those are, you know, steady investments and that's fluctuating. Right. The rents kind of stayed the same, unlike the stocks where they go up or down. And, you know, it really didn't affect it. And matter of fact, like during the summer when everything kind of opened up in June here in the East Coast, because I live in Pennsylvania, it kind of exploded because everybody who's selling 3 months back and now everyone's selling at the same time. Right.
Interesting.
So it just really picked up and it's super busy now. It's just been nonstop. People are just selling, you know, but there's a lot of talks about this whole thing that's going to happen, the trial in September and things like that. I'm cognizant of it and I'm aware of it, So I'm just trying to be kind of cautious and see what happens.
Are you talking about Hillary being on trial?
Yeah, that, and you know, maybe a second wave of corona, and it might slow things down. Yes. I know California got hit really bad with that.
Yeah.
They're still shut down.
You know, so I forgot. I think you posted a couple times in the forums, but so yes. You're just like a young guy and super healthy. What got you interested in being involved in health?
I just, it was actually my cousin who was big into it. He opened my mind about it. He said, hey, check out Dr. Bergman. So I became, really obsessed about the things that he was saying and just kind of woke up like, whoa, man. Wow. Yeah. Thank God. It was just kind of great. And then I saw that he released this community, and then I said, oh, definitely. So I joined right when it came out, and I've just been a member since. But I would ask a few questions and post here and there, but I really thought it was really important, right? 90% of people don't realize everything you guys are saying is true. Because they're sleeping. They're just like, they think, the government takes care of them. The medical field loves them. I don't realize it's a business, and the businesses will just try to make anything to do make money.
It's so interesting to me how everything is really connected. And at the very least, if it's not connected, they're so similar to each other. Because you look at like what kind of got you woken up or awakened up is this idea of health and the government involved and then healthcare and how we let the government take care of ourselves, and you realize it's a business, and then they're actively trying to keep people sick. And so you see all that, but then you realize, wow, the same thing is happening with the monetary system. The same thing is happening with history. Same thing's happening with science. And each one of those things is a vertical, but they're all somehow connected. And you can go down these rabbit trails, and each of these, even archaeology, like they're suppressing finds in Egypt that are showing the pyramids are way older than 2000 years old. And in every sort of facet of life, you have this mainstream and then coupled with the actual truth that's underneath it. And it's just fascinating how we can all wake up in different ways, it's pretty cool.
It really is. And it's just so suppressed. And the more, like you said, the more you look into it, the more you see it's suppressed and they're just articulated for the history that they were supposed to know and believe.
Yeah.
And it's not pleasant.
Hey, what is your website? Do you have a website? I'd like to check it out.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be building it up, but it's finesthomebuyers.com.
Can you put it in the chat room? I'd love to see it. If
yeah, okay. sure. Cool, so,
So Jonathan is, so how do you pronounce your name? Is it Isla?
It's Ilya.
Ilya. Okay.
Ilya.
Jonathan is from the UK, and we're just talking before you hopped on. About the state of things in UK, and it's wild, right? And Jonathan, so you're out in the field, right, and seeing people. Are your clients requiring you to wear a mask, or are they sort of standoffish?
No, everyone's kind of. Everyone here is kind of standoffish. everyone is naturally 2 meters apart.
Oh, really?
Wow. It's not very. Oh, yeah, I mean, we're not like some cultures.
Italians.
Like,
Italians.
Yeah, Italians are really close and they're really friendly, and everyone here is a bit more distanced anyway. So, like that 2 meters thing is easy.
Oh. Wow!
But the mask thing, we try to wear the mask in shops and things, because we don't want the £100 fine for one.
Right.
Some people wear masks anyway, and some don't. Some will just wear it draping over their neck and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny because some people I've noticed too are like, how they have the people at the front of the store, trying to make sure you wear a mask. And some people fight it right at the outset, but then some people will go in, I've noticed, and then they'll just let the mask hang over their ear. They'll say, they'll put it on right when they walk in. And then after that, they let it hang off their ear or something,
Hey, we did an interesting thing today. My husband's cousin passed away. He went to the funeral home. You had to wear a mask. So I got these. I bought some hemp material, and I just made a little triangle and tied it. You can breathe right. I mean, it's nothing to it.
What was the material, Beck? What was that material?
Made from hemp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just keep it in the vehicles, and if we have to for something like that, we had to.
What I wanted to do? I wanted to make a mask out of a almond milk, nut milk bag.
Oh, yeah. It's about like that. It's real similar to that, the nut material. But anyways, we get in the funeral home, and everybody's wearing them, but they're hugging each other. I was like, oh, this is odd.
How does that make sense, right?
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. But I let it down. You know, it kept slipping. I didn't have it real tight, and it kept slipping and slipping. And finally, I was wearing it for a handkerchief around my neck.
Yeah, I wore one. I've worn one once, and I've done the whole I have a condition, and for the most part, people respect that. But I did wear one once. I just wanted to see what it felt like and what it was like to have a mask on, you know. And I wore it for like 2 or 3 minutes shopping around at Sprouts, you know, and I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is so, there's something psychological happening when I'm wearing this mask. So I decided, okay, I'm going to bring it down over my nose and let my breathe out of my nose, which you're supposed to do anyway for better health and CO2 and stuff like that. And so I did get a few looks and weird people, you know, avoiding me and looking at me funny because I had it down here. But, it was just a weird psychological feeling to wear a mask like that. Yeah. What'd you say, Jonathan? Yeah, it's just bizarre.
Common,
right?
Here. Everyone's got it around there. Hanging off their nose.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So Ilya, you said you're in Pennsylvania, is that right?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What's the state?
Pennsylvania. What part?
Lancaster. So I wanted to move away from, you know,
the Amish settlement there.
That's right.
I'm from Ohio, so nice. I've been there. We actually have a cabin in Pennsylvania up in the Allegheny Mountains. One room. We go there a lot. It started out, it was a hunting cabin for the guys, and that's how it started. But now it's more of a getaway where the families go there for the weekend or week or whatever.
Nice.
It's real in the boonies. I mean, it's outhouse, no electric, you know, it's real crude, but it's fun. It's beautiful.
Wow. Hey, Ilya, where are you in relationship to, do you know where Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania is?
Oh yeah. I live, it's behind me. It's maybe like 1 minute away. Oh. I'm in Bird in Hand.
You are so lucky because one of the best farms, it's called, Miller's Organic Farms, I think. Do you know that?
Yes,
farm?
Yes. It's like a Whole Foods, but like Amish. They only take cash, like, you know.
They produce the best milk and butter and raw cheese. And oh my gosh, that's so amazing. You're so close to that.
And I used to live in New York City. I actually moved here a year ago. I said, man, I'm tired of the city. Tired of shopping at Whole Foods and just living in the polluted environment. So I want to be closer to these people. They're closer to God. Better quality of food, organic things. And I literally just said, okay, you know, to my wife, let's go. We're going to move.
Do you get a lot of your food from them?
Yes. Yeah. We go to a majority of the farms all around here. So each farm sells different products, eggs, milk.
You just drive there and pick it up?
That's it. Yeah. And after a while, they just know you. Some of them, most of them have like, you know, like a little stand in the front. So they'll have like cucumbers and they'll have, you know, tomatoes. So it's really cool because you just get everything right off the garden, really, literally, right from the garden.
You are so blessed, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to get away. It's nice.
Sorry, what's that, Jonathan?
Are you near Warwick?
Warwick.
Warwick.
Pennsylvania? Warwick?
Well, Pennsylvania, that's like near New York, isn't it?
Yeah, 2.5 hours.
Right.
Oh, there is Warwick Township in Pennsylvania.
Is there?
There is a Warwick. And there's also a Warwick in New York. And
I see. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to Google that here. It's about an hour.
Yeah. It's like countrified, isn't it? It's all rivers.
Yeah, like horses. It's more country. But you know what? It's weird because Lancaster is like such an Amish community, but they kind of exploit them to make it like a tourist thing where people actually go in there and say, oh, you want to see the Amish? There's a lot of hotels on the main strip, but then you go off the main strip, which is Route 30, it's very country. And I get water from there's a spring that runs and they have a pipe that comes out there and you just get fresh water. And I have a test there and everything, and I test it and it's really good water. It's like, I think it has like only 25 TDS, which is like what, total dissolvable salt.
It's very soft.
So it's very soft, and it's, my God, it's the best water.
Dude, you're living close to nature. You're getting all this amazing farm food. You're getting spring water. Dude, you took the red pill, man.
That's it, man. Yeah. I jumped in. That's what I wanted.
That's awesome.
We actually have Amish pretty close here in Ohio, too. They're maybe like 2 hours from where I live, and we'll go there for the day once in a while. And I just like driving the side roads and watching them farm, you know, with the horses and everything. I like doing that because a lot of it's gotten touristy. Some of those towns used to have the authentic Amish restaurants. It's not anymore. Mm-hmm. It's got real touristy.
Yeah.
I like to get out on the side roads and, you know, where you really see how they live.
That's so cool.
Justin, how do you know about Miller's?
Miller's because we actually reached out to them to be on our radio show. And I heard him on another podcast, I forget, years ago, like maybe 10 years ago. And I think a few years ago, maybe we bought some food from their online store. Miller's Organic Farms, and this is just amazing stuff. Like, I listened to him talk about his farm and his connection to the Amish lifestyle and how they're protecting their crops and what they're growing. And it's just like, wow, this guy's on another level. but I think recently in the last couple of years, I think they require you to be a member of their association or something through their website. I forget how it works. So
maybe to order it online. Yeah. I think they are protective, right? They don't. Yeah. When you go in the store, I guess that's only cash, right? And majority of people who are buying from there are Amish. Or of course you get a few, Americans as well,
but nice.
It's kind of secluded too. It's like literally like bird in hand surrounded by farms. So if you don't know about it, you're not going to find it.
Dude, you're in an awesome spot, man. That's great.
And they have way more things than like Whole Foods. They have like collided silver. They have like everything you could think of, minerals and stuff that I couldn't even find online, and they have it. They'll have it.
Wow. Like you couldn't find it online at other sites or their own.
Yeah, site? Other sites, but okay. Miller's would have it, and it's like because I guess a lot of them make a lot of their stuff, right? But some of them do get Americanized, even though they're still dressed like Amish. They'll eat fast food once in a while and stuff like that, unfortunately. But,
what's awesome about what you're doing is that even though, like, I could buy it online and get the same food as you, that food to you is local, and that's super important for your health too. So you're in a better benefit because you're physically local to that area, so that's going to be even healthier for you.
Oh, is it? Because your body's adapted to this environment.
Yeah, your body and your mitochondria are all attuned to the geographical location on the earth. So your mitochondria know where on earth you are, you know? And like your mitochondria sort of like send out these signals, like radio frequency signals to figure out what time of day it is, where you are on the earth, what your elevation is. And your body's calculating all of that at the same time. And so when you eat food that's also in that same geographical area, your body immediately attunes to that because we really shouldn't be eating food from Australia and Japan and all these other places because the photons from the sun that get stored in that food aren't accustomed to where we are on the planet. So it's so local food is just amazingly beneficial. So
that's incredible.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, it's like one of those things where your mitochondria, you have like anywhere from 3,000 to 10,000 mitochondria per cell, and they send out these frequencies. It's actually called at the step five to make ATP. It's called a nanomotor, and it has a revolution on it, and it spins, I think, at 9,000 revolutions per minute. And these send out magnetic frequencies to your environment. And whenever we eat food, our food is basically just captured sunlight. Really, that's what we're eating is captured sunlight. So if that food is captured sunlight in some other part of the world, and then you try to eat it, your body doesn't recognize it as easily. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this the same thing that Atom Bergstrom talks about, solar eating?
Yeah, he talks about solar eating and eating on time, but I never really heard him talk about the location on the planet. But like your body and your mitochondria, it knows. It's sort of like having an iPhone in your pocket where it knows how high up you are. It knows what season you're in. It knows where, how far you are from the equator and all that kind of stuff. And your body's calculating that. So when you eat food that's also capturing those same energies, biophotons from the sun, it's like immediate absorption, you know, but
pretty,
that's not always easy for us to do though, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Awesome.
Hey guys, I apologize. I have to go because we have a show in 10 minutes. I have to be on.
All right. I'm going to watch that.
Is this that on the YouTube?
This isn't 666 today, is it?
It's your show? Unfortunately, it's.
I remember you making a joke about that. That you was going to call it something else, maybe.
I know. Yeah, unfortunately, it is 666.
Okay, it is today. I thought so.
But you know, we're going to talk about vaccines and coronavirus, so I figured, you know, it kind of could kind of go with that, you know, a little bit. So.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Jonathan, dude, super great to see you. Beck, I always love seeing you, and Ilya, it's awesome.
Good to meet you all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to meet you guys.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. I'll see you. Okay.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Have a great one.
You too. Everybody. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.